is Tom Brady out of the AFC East. That feels good, doesn't it, Bills fans? You're listening to the Red, White, Buffalo Blues, Matt and Alex. Alex, the news. Brady's out. What do you feel?
It is time to celebrate.
But, I mean, it ultimately then it puts the Bills in control of their own destiny in that AFC East, don't you think?
Does it? I think this is a fantastic time to revisit the conversation of the Patriots dynasty. Is it Brady or is it Belichick? Now we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Tom Brady can put up numbers in Tampa, then he is a great quarterback. But if he falters, and it's probably too late in his career to really test this, but if he falters in Tampa and Belichick still goes 10-6, 11-5, then we all know who it is. And I'm absolutely already leaning on the fact that it's Belichick who's done it. But, I mean, they just signed Brian Hoyer today. He won't be the answer. They're probably going to draft a guy, and, you know, who knows what happens. But as of today, we all think and feel that it's the Bills division to win, and it's a great feeling because we haven't had this feeling since forever.
And we've also got the Jets, who are spending has spent 30 million on a few O-line, just chucking money, trying to protect Darnold.
Bad players, though, which is pretty exciting. Yeah. I mean, the Dolphins built a pretty good defense overnight.
Yeah. For Jets, Connor McGovern, the new center, he is not a half bad player, so that's probably the decent sign they've got. But yeah, Dolphins, and obviously they've got the 3 first round picks. They've got 12 picks in the draft.
Yeah, they're going to look like a completely different team when it comes time around. I mean, I still think that they're probably going to be 1 or 2 years away, but with the moves they made in free agency and what they think that they can add in the draft, they're going to want to try and play right now. So we'll see, but I mean, I still absolutely just feel the best about what we can do right now. Let's just focus on the fact that we don't have to play Tom Brady twice a year. I mean, our record against the Patriots without Brady is good. I mean, obviously most of those are Week 17 games, but I mean, yeah, it's just. You've seen the pictures, right, of all the mock-ups of him in a Bucs jersey. So weird. It's like a dream come true, and I don't know if it's, like, real or not. But then, did you see the picture of him, though, signing the contract?
Well, the one you retweeted and said, why the hell is he actually wearing his hoodie like that?
He's got his hoodie strings tied. Who the hell does that?
We're hoping he wasn't going to get a coronavirus. We couldn't have that to him, could we?
Here's this asshole who wears wears Uggs, just says and does all the dumbest stuff, and now this. It's like a cherry on top of a get the hell away from me kind of. We don't have to deal with you anymore. You're not our problem. I'd honestly. It would be better for him, I think, to have retired, because I think that he now has a chance not to obviously tarnish his legacy. But, I mean, you know, you look at Brett Favre, you look at Joe Montana, just shut up and retire, you know?
Yeah. So, and we're straying from it now. We're giving him too much airtime, especially on this on this podcast. So let's go.
This will be the last time we talk about him.
Let's go, Bills. And free agency. Now, obviously, people know we've lost Shaq Lawson to Dolphins. He signed a 3-year, $30 million deal. Jordan Phillips to the Cardinals. And more recently, Kevin Johnson to the Browns. A 1-year, $3.5 million could rise to $6 million. And Phillips on a 3-year, $30 million contract to the Cardinals. And our remaining free agents that are left on the Bills are LaJaylen Waddle, Frank Gore, Julian Stanford, Maurice Alexander, Senyelise Perry, Kurt Coleman, Cora DeJette, and Isaiah McKenzie, who they didn't tender, so has now just become a complete free agent. Any shocks there? Anyone that you think that we should get back?
Just those are all just names to me. I mean, nothing really tugs on my heartstrings.
No, I'd like to see him bring back the Dagey and Waddle, because I don't think he didn't really have a fair shot because obviously his injury, and he can provide that swing tackle. So, I mean,
as we talk, we'll get into what free agency has done for our draft expectations, and I think that really puts an underlying marker on an offensive line need, and I think we'll just address that on the draft more than just re-signing him.
Talking of re-signing as well, we've re-signed Quinton Spain, 3-year, $15 million. We've re-signed McDermott's favourite, Dean Marlowe, the safety, on a 1-year vet minimum. And I think most Bills fans would be happy that his missus will be quiet on this one, but the Bills extended Jordan Poyer, 2 years worth $22.7 million. With $13 million guaranteed.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair contract. We're in a really good spot cap space wise. I mean, considering where money still needs to go for our guys, we'll touch on that later. But I think it's enough time, long enough wait. The biggest news out of free agency.
Yeah. Well. That and obviously the trades that happened.
Period, of course.
Hey,
the start of the league year, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't sound excited at all. Were you not a big Stephon Diggs guy?
You're not a big Stephon Diggs guy.
I'm asking you. I mean, I'm getting no excitement out of you. You're like, yep, yep.
Well, you hadn't really asked the question until just then, and I was talking over you, so I didn't hear the question, so...
Well, shut up and let me talk. Everyone's listening. Like, Alex, you talk enough. You shut up and let Matt talk.
Maybe I will talk over you. No, I'm quite good. I'm quite happy about the Diggs trade. I mean, when I first heard it and I first saw what they gave up to get him, I thought that is going to be a bit steep for a guy, for a 26-year-old. Okay, he's been in the league for a while. But then looking at the trade value, you look at the trade value of a first, fifth, a sixth, and next year's fourth.
And we still have those fifth and sixth picks. We had two in those each round, so.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But with the first, fifth, sixth, and next year's fourth, 2021, we package those up in the draft this year, that would have got us up to like 17th, 18th, just those picks alone, which will probably be not enough for a Judy or Ruggs or a CD Lamb to drop that far.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, at that point, you're giving up a good haul, a cheap haul, because you know your fourth, your fifth and sixth don't generally make the roster. But you're just giving up a first-round guy for someone who's actually had back-to-back 1,000 yards, and his stats, especially on the deep passes in 2019, he pretty much led the league in them. I mean, he led the league in deep receptions with 15, led the league in yards per target on deep passes with 24, led the league in touchdowns from deep passes with 5, and the 17.9 yards per reception is his career best, which was tied for fourth. And over the last 3 years, he's tied for third in touchdowns with 23. So, to me, with that, you're giving up a first-round pick, and you're potentially saying to yourself, have they put themselves in that two-year window of Allen's last 2 years, maybe 3 years, depending on his the fifth-year option?
He'll get extended before that.
So you're there looking. Are you looking into that? That they're thinking about the window, and you know that even though Ruggs, Judy, Lamb are top are top prospects in this wide receiver, do you think they'll be able to come in straight away and make that adjustment and that impact straight away to get us up to that next level? Where, say, you've got Stephon Diggs, 26 years old, been in the league for 4 years now, who can step in straight away and make that difference?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the initial thought that I had in trying to analyze this move. Bean's evaluation of the available wide receivers near our pick don't project to be a number one, at least immediately. And I think right now we need a number one production immediately. We don't have time to develop a number one receiver. We need it now. Also, not even just comparing him to other wide receivers, I think that this pick also, you can assume that no defensive end or linebacker near our pick would have had as big an impact on our overall team as Diggs will. This is a total trust the process move. I mean, knowing what Bean has done in the past, there's nothing to. It sucks to not have a first round pick because first round picks are exciting.
Yeah.
But here's a guy who can give you top wide receiver production. That's what we wanted out of that pick, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, let's not worry what happens in 4 years. Anything can happen in 4 years. So, you know, who cares about the length of a rookie deal versus how long Diggs will be good for? This is the NFL. What have you done for me lately? We're talking about 2020. That's all we really need to focus on. And that's what this pick solidifies.
I mean, you're looking at it. His pass rating when targeted in the league is 125.8. His contested catch rate in 2018 was 64%. He was second only behind Tyreek Hill.
And that's the most important. Yeah, that's the most important thing is that contested catch rate. When you're looking at his deep ball numbers, I mean, how many? I would probably say on five or six occasions when Josh Allen threw a deep ball, the guy was open and Josh just overthrew him. So I don't think Diggs could affect that as much.
No.
I mean, that's all on Josh. I mean, there are now no excuses for him in year three. I was very much an apologetic for him last year, but now I will be on him. But what Diggs brings, more importantly, is the contested catch rate.
Yeah.
I mean, if Allen were to have completed some of his deep passes, you know, we'd all be talking about how great Isaiah McKenzie is, you know?
I mean, with that contested catch, I don't have it for 2019. I couldn't find that stat yet. It's probably somewhere around here. But in 2017, he was 6.1% contested catch rate. But what was interesting, in 2018, I said he had 64% contested catch rate. DeAndre Hopkins was only 58.1% of contested catch rate in 2018. And this is the guy that this is the guy that Cardinals actually got a bargain for from Houston to actually go up and snag him.
And now it's important that you bring that up, because if anybody is upset at what we gave up versus what Arizona did, you need to realize that in a trade, both teams make the decision. There would be there's not a scenario on the planet, I think, where the Texans trade DeAndre Hopkins inside to the AFC. So the NFC, all of the teams got a discount on that. On that move, okay? So don't be like, oh, look at what the Bills gave up versus what the Houston gave up. It's not the same thing.
Yep.
I mean, there was no Devin Singletary in a fourth-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. That was never going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, we've got one of the best route runners in the league, pairing with another great route runner in Cole Beasley.
We were talking about this at work today. Again, the U.S. versus the U.K. Accent. When you say route, I just freak out.
It's route.
Oh my god, it's route. I can't handle that. It's a U.K. podcast, so you continue. Sorry.
Okay, his route running.
That hurt you, didn't it? That was difficult for you.
It was. is obviously one of the best in the NFL. You've got Cole Beasley, who's equally as good at it, and John Brown, the swell. Obviously, he's got the deep, he's got the speed, and he's got a bit of route running ability.
We get it.
You've instantly got a great upgrade on there, and obviously his cap hit. That was the best thing about it. They got this cap hit in 2020 is only $11.5 million.
Yeah, if he doesn't hold out, if we get 3 years at that price, then that's going to be amazing. Well, if he puts up 1,100 yards and like 8 or 9 touchdowns, he's probably going to ask for a pay raise.
Yeah, I mean, in 2021 to 2023, his cap hit is going to be $12 million. So, in essence, we've got him quite cheaply, not just in the fact of what we've given up for him, but obviously cap as well.
But you got to consider, I mean, if we use like a fifth round pick on a wide receiver because it's so deep, then next year we let John Brown go, then it'll be okay to increase his cap number, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
I mean, just not even in just cap space, but like just what it means to have three solid wide receivers is so important in the league this year. I mean, remember looking back just a few short years ago, it was Stevie Johnson, David Nelson, and
Donald Jones.
I mean, oh my God, that was what we had, and now we have this. I mean,
to be fair, the Jones, Donald Jones, Stevie Johnson, David Nelson core was quite productive, not as productive as what it can be with Brown, Beasley, and Diggs, but they did put up some good numbers, and they were
awful. Only Stevie Johnson's production, and he barely hit 1,000 yards. We all love Stevie. This is going to fall on Ryan Fitzpatrick, obviously, but I mean, those two guys were out of the league in 2 years, and Stevie, due to injury, faltered in San Diego and in San Francisco, but I mean, come on. I mean, there is no to be fair, I think, in this scenario. This is one of, if not the best wide receiver groups in the AFC right now. I mean, we haven't been able to say that since, Molds and Andre Reed shared the field.
True. But hang on, I'd love to get the information out. But
I mean, Molds and Peerless Price had a few years there, didn't they?
Yeah.
That was good. But, I mean, who was the third? Quinn Early? I mean, come on. He does have the record for longest catch. He had until
Owens took it.
Catch, yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember Quinn Early being in the NFL Game Day 97, 98 intro video. That's going to be a memory that I take with me to my grave. It's super weird.
Like, Dave, anyway, that's...
Yeah, that's Diggs, fantastic. Someone, if you have something bad to say about it, say it on Twitter or Facebook and let us know, and we will argue it, because there is nothing bad about the deal or the player.
Yeah, so let's move on then. Free agency. After the Josh Norman... signing pre-free agency, we had about $76 million in cap space. Now, depending on where you look at, is over the cap has actually got us a $32.9 million in available cap space left. I believe on that one they haven't included the cap for the rookie pool. And Spotrac have got us down at $26.3 million. Now, on that, you probably thought, okay, they've actually spent quite a lot, but we've got some really good signings for our money in there. I mean, you got Vernon Butler, okay, from the Panthers, but a 2 year, $18 million, £330. It's probably going to be playing backup one tech, but has the versatility and the flex to go to a defensive tackle, a five tech. But what's amazed him, or what amazed me on there, is just his wingspan. which is pretty much the same size as an albatross. If you've got that eating up a couple of blocks on there, then all your other guys are going to be manual one-on-ones.
I mean, there's a lot about Butler that I didn't know before the signing, but in looking and searching it out, this one, a bit of a head scratcher in comparison to our other signing, Quinton Jefferson. First-round bust. I mean, if a team doesn't pick up your fifth-year option, it either means that they think that you're going to be too expensive and they can't afford you, or you're not just worth it at all. So I think he is maybe on the other end of that. Don't expect Jordan Phillips sack numbers. He's definitely more of a run-stopping kind of player. He's a Panther, so we had to sign him. I think that's just law.
Yeah, you've also got the Eric Washington connection there, because obviously, when Butler was at the Panthers, Eric Washington was there as a defensive coach. So you've got that, and you're probably expecting Washington to have a bit of a say in bringing him over, because obviously he knows him a lot better than what McDermott did. Cause I'm not sure what year they drafted him. They may have drafted him in the last year of McDermott's reign as the defensive coordinator, but
yeah, I mean, he's in the middle of his prime, so if some coaching can get him to where he can be, if we can you know, just squeeze out a little bit more of that potential, then this is a win. But as it stands, I think if it's anything, he's going to be a bubble player, I think.
He's gonna be a rotational. I still think he's going to be more rotational, because you're going to have Harrison Phillips when he comes back. Obviously, they're not going to rush him back now. With the signing, it means they can not rush Harrison Phillips back, because you don't want to rush him back so soon after a ACL injury. So you'll have Ed Oliver, you'll have Star Lutelady, you have Vernon Butler, Harrison Phillips, Quinton Jefferson and Vincent Taylor as your interior defensive line.
It's definitely going to be a situational kind of rotation, because I mean, those are some names that are we put money into. I mean, if Vernon Butler is a roster bubble player, that's $9.3 million guaranteed gone. So I don't know about it. Maybe it says, I mean, we restructured Star. I mean, it's super weird, because the other name that we're talking about, but we haven't talked about yet, is my favorite signing of all the picks, Quinton Jefferson. All year I talked about, pass rush pressure rate. Here is the third best pass rush win rate of all available defensive linemen in free agency. This guy beats his blocks and gets in the backfield. I would suggest on all pass rush downs, it's going to be Jefferson and Ed Oliver on the field.
It's the one thing that obviously Seattle fans are upset that he's actually, and they haven't been able to re-sign him.
That's how you know it's a good pick.
Yeah, and also the fact that when you listen and read what the likes of Matt Parrino, Greg Thompson, and all those are saying, is that he's got that versatility. So obviously he's played end in a 3-4 and also tackle in a 4-3. He's got that versatility that you could have a potential package where you're going to have Hughes, Jefferson, Ed Oliver, and our other free agent signing, Mario Addison, on the field at the same time on that front four with Edmonds and Milano in the backfield. Mm-hmm. Which one of those guys are you going to double team?
Right. No, I mean the moves that we've made are matchup heavy. They're building something here where you're getting versatile guys who can do what they need to and not be exposed. I think that's really important to focus on, is if you play base and you just play your guys, if you do a Rex Ryan defense, then you're going to expose guys. to their negative
grade. I thought you meant day one of that defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the defense that we're running is sub-heavy, play to your strengths, get the best out of you. If you're in a situation, if we're in a situation where your talents aren't used, we luckily have a guy to step in and then in and out, and guys are fresh. That leads to the fact that we had amazing injury, prevention last year, knock on wood for this year. So, so far so good on the interior. Then on the exterior, we have Mario.
I got one last stat which actually just shows how good Quentin Jefferson can be over Jordan Phillips. In the both over the 2018-2019 season, Jefferson only had 401 pass rush snaps and had 39 quarterback pressures. In the same period, people may have seen this tweet. In the same period, Jordan Phillips had 548 snaps and only managed 38 quarterback pressures. So for a guy who's never been a solid starter, there's a lot more production in there that you're going to get for Jordan Phillips. And obviously he's commanding less money than Jordan Phillips will be this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, as I say, you pair it, the interior is actually is beefed up a lot more, and then we go to the outside where we've got Mario Addison, 8-year Panther, strong connection with McDermott and Eric Washington, 3-year, $30.45 million contract for 33-year-old.
This is definitely a Shaq replacement. Expect 6 to 8 sacks, possibly. The way I see this is at his age, he's a good fill-in player while we wait for our younger guys to develop. If Mike Love could maybe become something, or if whomever we draft in the 4th or 5th round, if it's a defensive end, they can be, maybe next year will be their year. So he's definitely a substitute kind of player.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying you've looked for 6 to 8 sacks from him. The fact that his last 4 seasons he's been very productive and had at least 9 sacks in each of those last 4 seasons, with 2017 or 2018, him getting 11.5 sacks. So the productivity's there and obviously he's getting on a bit, but it's that experience which he can pass on.
Yeah, I mean, even then, if he doesn't get the sack numbers, I mean, as long as someone else is. So just remember that. Pressure rate and team sacks, more important than individual stats.
And also, he had a 15.7% win rate in rushes against 2 blockers in 2019, which was tied for 18th. So,
absolutely. That's what you're going for. I mean, I think you're looking at a situation where the D-line is so good that you're going to get a lot of one-on-one blocks. And as long as our guys can shed their one-on-one blocks, then, that's the goal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll go on to the other signings that we've actually made. I mean, A.J. Klein.
Former Panther. Linebacker from,
he's a linebacker from the Saints, 3 years, $18 million. Definitely a Zoe replacement. At the Will linebacker, Will or Strong? Yeah, Will. Yeah, plays at the Will.
Yeah, no, I don't have a strong feeling about this. I think he's going to obviously be the weakest link in our linebacking core. He's an average player. He does nothing poorly, but he does nothing spectacularly. I think the best thing about him is that he's a really good special teams player as well. So, you look for that versatility again.
He's going to be an upgrade definitely over Maurice Alexander and James
Absolutely.
Stanton.
Better than what we have, but don't expect much here. I mean, in all free agent ratings and rankings, this guy was not in the middle of the linebacking corps when it comes to ratings. I mean, just looking at individual numbers and, a little bit of tape, strengths and weaknesses. To me, he's just a guy. And the same thing in Mario Addison's case, just be here, don't screw up, and then next year, whomever we draft or we bring someone else in better next year. You're not going to have every position be, a game buster. And I think it's going to be that position for us next year.
And he's not going to be a full star. He's not going to get loads of snaps because they would love to run the two linebackers, Edmonds and Milano. So he's pretty much going to be your rotation guy if someone's going to get injured to actually to step up. So, I mean, we also signed another linebacker. I'm just hoping I pronounce his surname right. Tyler Matakevich. Oh, yes, first time. 2 years, $9 million. But this guy will probably barely see the field on defense, but he's apparently a special teams tackling machine. A couple of blocked field goals or blocked punts. Hmm. But then again, I think that was before they brought in the new rules for field goals or for extra points. So that's another solid signing. It spruces up the special teams and the guy that broke Bill's hearts in that playoff game is he was the one that caught the 34 yard pass to put the Texans into field goal range.
Shut up. It's over. Let's not relive this.
With the signing of Klein, Addison, and Matakevich, you pretty much replaced Lorenzo Alexander with three players in probably Matakevich's room with good value, because you've got Addison, who can do the Alexander hand in the ground rushing from defensive end. Obviously, AJ Klein to play the will when he's actually when he's on, and have a minor impact, not as big as Lorenzo Alexander would be. And obviously, Matakevich with his special team prowess. So you've got those three all on all to replace Zoe, and they may not all, well, apart from Madison, they may not all always get on the pitch. So you've got a good replacement there.
Yeah, it'd be great if it was one player, but you just got to do the best you can at the moment. So,
before we go on to the available free agents, I just want to put this out here. This is a stat I've just this is a bit of information, a bit of a trivia that I found out while scrolling a few things today. That this offseason, actually, Josh Norman actually spent time training with the Israeli Defense Force this offseason with Adrian Peterson.
That's weird.
I know it's a weird fact, but it's something that if you can get some time.
Don't quiz
training,
your friends.
But hopefully with him, he's going to be like he'll come back, as we mentioned in the previous podcast.
Are you upset at any of at a lack of running back signing?
Not as much, no. I mean, yes, I like it. I like the fact that there was potential interest in Gordon and in and Gurley. Well, not too much Gurley, but Gordon as well. But what they're offering, what Bills would probably go, or Brandon Bean wanted to pay, probably didn't justify it, especially if they're gonna.
Yeah, I mean it's a big no to that Gordon contract. Jordan Howard would have been great because it's a complimentary piece, but I think that it's definitely going to be that thing that we address in the draft.
Which is kind of
a bummer. But I mean, you're going to get cheaper guys in the draft, and I think that's the whole thing. We have a GM who manages the cap efficiently, So not wasting money on a backup running back is a smart move.
Yeah, but then again, you've got the likes of Devontae Freeman, Deion Lewis, Carlos Hyde, three free agent running backs that come on.
Yeah, they're still floating around out there. So the longer they're out there, the cheaper they become. So
I mean, just list. Just these are the few names that are still free agents for the out there. Javadion Clowney, Everson Griffin, Xavier Rhodes, Dontari Poe, Ndamukong Suh. I would have said Pierre Desir, but he's just been picked up by the Jets. Eric Reed, Darrell Williams, Jets right tackle.
Looking good.
Clay Matthews, Philip Dorsett, Mike Iapati. I can never pronounce his name, but they're still good agents.
The top three guys that you named there are all big stars that would probably demand really big contracts. When it comes to looking at defensive end statistics, I think Jadeveon Clowney is the outlier. I mean, he's the example here. I mean, here's a guy who does not get sacks, but also the teams that he's on does. So he's going to get paid even without having those like individual numbers.
Yeah, but I mean, it just shows that these guys are still out there about a week after free agency started. So they're going into the second wave of free agency. The fact that they're still on there, you're thinking that most of them are going to probably take a team friendly cut. Or team friendly.
Have a lot of teams vying for them. At least, definitely like the top three or four guys there. But yeah, definitely. If the Bills sign anybody, it's going to be a bench player. So the Bills are done in free agency. I'm happy with it. And I think what it does is what we have now with this team is all of our drafted players can be projects that just rotate in. They won't have expectations or workloads. And I think it'll be best for the development to be just replacement level guys for the first, you know, 1 or 2 years. And, going back to Bean and what he's been able to do, this is one of the most tactical and smart off seasons I've ever seen. What he's been able to do in 3 years is nothing short of magical. I mean, this is the best team building we've seen since Polian from 86 to 88. And it's also important to note that he did that without a first-round pick in 88 and in 89. So you can't be too upset that we don't have one this year.
Yeah.
Everything really coming together, and it's scary because I don't know how to feel this way.
Yeah, so then put yourself then. Obviously, we see mock drafts out there and all that. So pick 54 are technically our first pick of the draft. What way are you going to go? You're going to go, obviously, you're looking more defensive end then. So you look at, or defensive side, sorry. So either defensive end or a cornerback, or do you see if you can try and fit an offensive lineman there?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much took all the answers. I would probably say if I was going to bet on it, it would be linebacker or O-line. And then third round wide receiver, defensive end. Running back, fourth round, you know, then just, you know, best player available. We're probably going to come out of this with good depth at on D-line. Like I said, I think it would be really important still to scoop up a wide receiver and have them be someone next year in, like, probably letting John Brown go.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I were to ask you on the spot right now, rank the moves they've made in free agency. So the Josh Norman signing, the Addison signing, Diggs trade, Butler, Jefferson, what am I saying? Klein, Matakovich.
Yeah, so you want me to you want me to put these in order of like how impressive the deal is or how impactful they'll be?
How impactful?
All right. Well, it's going to be Diggs, obviously, at one, then Jefferson, then Addison, and then like everybody else. I would say Klein, then Butler, then the special teams guys. Norman is the interesting one because is he cooked or not? Who knows? But, you know, if he becomes, if he starts as the number two but then moves to the number three and it's efficient, then it's worth it because his deal is so affordable. So I'm completely okay with that. So I would say, yeah, Diggs, Jefferson, Addison, Norman, Butler, Klein, special teams guys.
Okay, so pretty much almost similar to me. I mean, I've obviously had the first three is Diggs, Jefferson, Addison, Norman. Yeah, so pretty much exactly the same, yeah, the first four on there.
I mean, yeah, I can't imagine anybody else would see it differently.
I mean, that, well, probably someone would say, no, I like someone would say Matakovic. I'm going to keep saying his name so at least I get programmed into my head.
Yeah.
But probably, I'll probably say that he's probably going to be a really interesting player to actually look out for, obviously for a special teams needs. But could he be that serviceable backup which could come in? But who knows? I say, at the moment with this with the virus going around, who knows if we're gonna see much of the off season training camp for these guys to get acquainted. Let me tell
you, I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not gonna say anything on it. But you know, I think one of these guys might actually surprise because it's gonna be tough to be lucky with the injuries like we were last year. Something's probably going to happen to someone that we don't want. So someone's going to have to step up and let's see if these are the guys that can do it.
But so the good thing is that we've now got that. We've got that depth that we haven't really, you can't really pick a hole too much or without looking into too much depth in the third tier, fourth tier of our, of the squad that really there's any weakness.
Right, absolutely.
So I say it's going to be an interesting draft. I still think that we're not going to come away with seven draft picks. I have a feeling that we'll probably make about four or five.
Trade back into the third or something. Yeah, I mean, I would be happy with that.
I think we'll get, my prediction for the draft is we'll get a second, two thirds, and a fourth. I think that may be the fifth.
That sounds good to me.
So, I mean, all was left to say. Do you have anything else to add at all?
I think it's going to be some time before we talk football again because a whole lot of nothing is going on. Oh, my God. I'm watching a video on YouTube right now. This guy is using his shoe tied with the shoelaces tied around his head as a mask. His face is in the foothole. Jesus Christ, people, use your brains.
I hope you hadn't been wearing that shoe beforehand.
Yeah. No, yeah, we're in a weird place right now. You know, all sports are gone momentarily. You know, if anybody wants to get some advice here, just, you know, do me a favor. Be kind to others. Don't hoard. You don't need to. The shops will stay open. You know, for food, if you don't need to go out, don't go out. I mean, I unfortunately work at a company that doesn't want to close, and I work with a lot of customers, and people are still coming in, and it's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, stay home. Don't put others at risk, because even if you don't think you'll get deathly sick, you could give it to someone else, and there could be negative impact. So just be smart and safe, and we'll talk football when football comes back.
Yeah, and if you are in isolation, don't just listen to us. I mean, listen to all the other Bills podcasts, your Cover One,
a lot of good content,
Circle the Web, Wagons, all that. Everyone, Nick and Nolan show, everyone of us in this position of actually being able to broadcast Bills news and opinion to you. We're happy to do it for as long as it takes to actually get you away from thinking about what's going on out there. So, as Alex said, stay safe. And it's from me and Alex for this time. Until next time, good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Stay safe and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us. Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are. Bills on three. One, two, three.